Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How long gone? Chris Black fearlessly checking in from Dubai, 35 floors up. The weather is clear. Thank you for everyone who tagged me in the videos of the, you know, Lamborghini flooding and the airport. It's nice to remind me of what's going on outside, like I don't already know. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I also received a good amount of those messages, but I also received a lot of messages from people who were just like, I guess it's kind of 50-50 of like, LOL, Chris Black is in Dubai right now, and then 50% is Chris a lot, like, is he safe, is he alive, I'm legitimately worried about his safety, kind of thing. So, which is kind of what you'd expect from your and our listeners, right?
yeah that's true. Yeah half dickheads, half compassion. That's fine. I mean I also think it like I said, it looked so crazy online, and it looked crazy when I drove in, but because I haven't left this building, The employees here are like, yeah, it took me 3 hours to get to work because like certain roads are closed and you just have to go like the long way.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. It's all good. I'm getting my ass kicked. Great trainers. That's all that really matters, Jason.
Okay. So is Dubai chill now? Did they find the drain and unclog it? Take all the hair out and now the streets are fine?
Hey man, there was a guy at the pool today, fucking shirt off, sunglasses on, hitting the hookah. Life is good, baby. Dubai is back.
Okay, so are you allowed to do hookah at this fitness hotel?
Well, the fitness hotel is shared with another hotel called the One and Only, and there's like a pool area that's like, yeah, you can. I mean,
it's communal.
Smoking is still big in the Middle East, so there's lots of business guys smoking cigs, you know, and having, because they don't drink, so it's a lot of like smoking cigs and having water or juice or something, coffee obviously. But yeah I was laying
just
down,
get a nice cigarette and a glass of water after a hard day's work.
Exactly, blow off some fucking steam. But I was laying
blow
there
off steam with the pomegranate juice.
I was just laying there reading my book and I'm like, why does it smell like apple? Like, what is that fucking smell? And I got up to go to the bathroom, and this dude is just blasting hookah with his pregnant wife, like resting her head on his chest.
Ooh.
And I'm like, damn, this guy is living the dream. Just hitting the hookah. His chick don't even care. It was really funny. It was really funny.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the meme of the two cartoon characters just kind of posted up smoking, playing video games with a gun on the bed, you know, like that's what you like, but Middle Eastern version.
Yeah.
Okay. This sounds fun. So are you able to, is this like a real vacation? Like, obviously I know that you're working on your actual job and you're doing a lot of fitness and training and all that stuff, but I feel like it's nice for you to just, you know, on a Wednesday, lay by the pool and read your book all by your lonesome.
Yeah, because Wednesday at noon is, you know, still the middle of the night in New York. So I get up, I do cardio in my
room. Oh, yeah.
In my
There's nobody to Twitter with.
There's no one to talk to, so I have no choice. I get up, I do my little, I do my cardio in the room. I go have a meal,
mm-hmm.
late morning. Then I hit the pool, or then I have some sort of treatment. Then I work out again with a trainer, and the guy today, this guy from Egypt, destroyed me, fucked me up.
Pause.
And then I went and got a facial.
Pause.
And then I sat in a massage chair for an hour and responded to some emails. and now I'm here podcasting with you at 9 p.m. So life is good.
How many more days of paradise do you have, Chris?
Luckily, okay, well, tomorrow, the most fucked up, as a person who flies a lot, I didn't even know this was possible. I check out of the hotel Friday at midnight. My flight leaves at 2:30 a.m. from Dubai International. Mm-hmm. So it puts me in back in New York, I think Saturday morning, but I don't know what the vibe, like I've only done this one other time similarly, but it was like Istanbul to Paris and it was something like 3:30 or 4, but 2:30 seems
loco.
Aggressive. That's not the morning. That's the middle of the night.
That's not the morning. Okay. So you have one more day.
One more full day.
And then is the food that you're eating, is any of it sort of local Arab Emirate flavors, or is it just overnight oats and shit?
No. I met with my nutritionist before I got here, told her what I liked, and then some of the meals are overnight oats, but then some of them do have a local, like the first night it was some local flavor. It was like this insane like chip that had peanuts in it with like this spicy dip. It was fucking delicious.
Okay.
There's some other stuff as well, but it might be Syrian. It might not, you know, it's like from the region. I don't think it's specific to the UAE. I don't think, but I'm no expert, but I've talked to the chef several times. He's very pleasant. He approached me, said hello. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been getting the treatment I deserve, Jason.
You've been approached.
But I wanted
beautiful,
to,
man.
I wanted to get into some stuff before our guests come. I just wanted to kind of read something, if that's okay with you.
That would be great. Yeah. Lay it on me. Big fan of the written word.
Down bad, crying at the gym. Everything comes out, teenage petulance. Down bad, fuck it, if I can't have him. Down bad, then he was racist on a podcast. Jason, these are lyrics.
I don't think these are real lyrics. These can't be real.
I definitely think they're real. She's the kind of person, Taylor Swift is the kind Taylor Swift is the kind of person who would write down the word petulance and then want to sing it. There's not many people in the world that could do it.
I think she would be singing about Matty Healy maybe in more of a cryptic way. I hope those lyrics are real. I hope that she mentions a racist podcast in her song, her being the most famous, powerful musician currently alive, mentioning, you know, a racist podcast in a song. It makes my world feel smaller.
Taylor Swift mentioning any podcast, I think, is a net positive for us. But I told you she was wearing Travis Kelce's podcast logo hat at Coachella, which I'm sure they sold.
I heard that on Matt Bellany's Da Town.
10,000 hats in fucking.
They're shopping it around right now.
5 minutes, but okay. Yeah. I mean, he's hosting a new game show. Are you smarter than a kindergarten? I think it's like, are you smarter than a celebrity? Maybe is what it's called.
Are you smarter than a 5 year old? Are you smarter than a 5 year old? The irony is that we got America's dumbest man to host this show, where it's a real kind of will they won't they of, who's you know, being smarter than a 5 year old.
Who's leading who? You know,
the Vegas,
I mean?
Odds it's a right, it's 50-50 down the line, the Vegas odds on 50-50 if he's gonna be smarter than a 5 year old.
But so yeah, this Taylor Swift,
God bless him.
This Taylor Swift album, I guess it comes out tomorrow, so it's leaked on TikTok, I believe, and those are some lyrics that Jason found.
They did a pop up at the Grove, I think, where they had like tea stained letters in a vintage typewriter kind of vibe.
That's every
kind of like when you have a haunted house in high school.
That sounds like Bright Eyes, but also Taylor Swift. Like, I don't know. That's like
nothing matters.
It really doesn't. I mean, I think she's really just shitting it out at this point. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, the fans are so dedicated that there's no loss. She can make any kind of music she wants, and it's just going to be fine. So, the tortured poet. What's it called? The tortured poets department. I mean, that's insane.
Something like that, yeah.
Awful fucking name. Awful.
Do you think that the world would be a better place if we were all writing more poetry?
Like
if poetry became like a mainstream thing and people could find financial success in the world of the poetic arts?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No one is good at poetry. No one understands poetry. There's no way for it to ever be big because people don't understand it. And it's got a stink on it.
It's a unquantifiable art form.
Yes.
No one's ever been good at it because no one's ever been able to tell if someone is good at it.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
I mean, I've definitely read some, you know.
Have you ever listened to the music of J. Cole? Many call him a poet.
He is a poet. I mean, that's different. He's nasty with the pen, much like Rilke. But I don't know if like poetry. I guess rap is the closest thing we have. So Drake is my favorite poet. I'll say it. I don't give a fuck.
It's bigger than rap.
What's up with you, bro? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed lately. I feel like the weeks just fly by now, you know, which I guess is good. But I think having a Substack every week has proven to be consuming of my time.
Yeah, working will take up time. It's something that I've realized a while ago, but I'm glad you're coming to that realization now.
Well, you're sending me videos of funny things that you've been watching, and I'm like, I have no idea if I would ever have time to watch a reality show.
Okay, yeah. So today I watched,
or like today, taking the time to watch something.
Today I watched four hours of Drewski's Coulda Been House, which is like a fake reality show where aspiring rappers move into like a shitty house mansion in LA and Drewski, you know, makes them do challenges and stuff. It's it's so good. I cannot express to you how good it is. It's so fucking funny. Like, I was dying laughing.
I haven't had 4 hours in a month.
Well, it wasn't 4 hours.
And I'm glad that you do.
It was more like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. But you have to remember, again, there's a lull in my day because of the time difference. There's just nothing. At a certain point, I've sent all the emails. It's kind of nice and kind of awful at the same
zero inbox.
Zero inbox. But I highly recommend Could Have Been House by Drewski on YouTube. It's free.
Could Have Been House. It's a great name.
It's sponsored by Prize Picks, but the main sponsor is Raising Cane's.
Oh, wow.
Raising Cane's gave this guy over $1 million to do this shit. At least. It's crazy.
Money well spent.
Money well spent. I mean, this is touching the streets in a way, but this is also just me trying to get Drewski to come on How Long Gone. There's no one I'd rather talk to. Mm-hmm. It's Liam Gallagher and Drewski.
Oh, wow. Is Drewski above Morrissey?
Yeah, because he's funny. Morrissey's not funny. I don't think. I mean, maybe he's unintentionally funny. Maybe he's funny.
He has a queer sense of humor.
He does have a very
queer, that in the strange way.
He's a very strange guy. That's a known.
Who dresses worse, Drewski or Morrissey?
I think everything Drewski does is the bit, and that's why I respect him so much. I feel like every single thing
Morrissey.
The video I sent you, the video where he's selling lean at the gas station in Atlanta. That shit is so good.
Yeah, man.
And he's got the skinny jeans on. Nobody makes me laugh like that. It's just it's you and Drewski, the only two people that can make me laugh like that.
Listening to you talk about Drewski sounds like a motherfucker giving his wedding vows. Just like,
I just think it's just so rare to see something that's actually funny on the internet that also someone put effort into. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like some silly meme. It's like this guy spent. So the sponsors paid a fortune to make this full-on YouTube show, and it's like I just have to respect that.
It's a rare combination of God-given talent and ability mixed with hard work and production.
Exactly.
Usually you get one or the other.
Yeah, you never get both. You really never get both. All right, we do have guests today. I was going to say it in an accent, but I'll let you do that. You know them, a duo, Justice, legendary French duo that makes music, they DJ, et cetera, et cetera. The fourth album, Hyperdrama, I believe is out now. And they're also playing Coachella.
Yeah, they're in the middle. We're between weeks one and two of Coachella. And Justice, known for having one of their first year playing Coachella. What is that? I don't know. 10 years ago or something. Legendary, similarly to the Daft Punk Coachella set.
Yeah.
And now they're back with like a new show, and you know, I'm excited to hear about the AB comparisons of you know, peak electro blog house mixed with 2024 USC bro house.
I want to hear about their rigs, because I know they're running Ableton just like you, so I'm sure you could get some pointers on some hot keys.
Oh yeah, I need to hear about DJ Grimes and their rigs.
All right,
they have several backup systems, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. That would never happen to them. Their BPMs are locked the fuck in. Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch that you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that will make your taste buds swoon.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef design recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, I like to chop myself, or quick microwave meals that are assembled in minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals, 30 options per week, and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. I'm keto now. Not only is it convenient, but it is also economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Mamma mia.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners, our listeners, 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/howlong. That's homechef.com/howlong for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. homechef.com/howlong. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real, with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
We were laughing because one of the best conversations we had with Gaspard in our lifetime was about dreams.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. And how they're presenting themselves and how they are marketed, and drinks that are honest in what they present you and what they deliver, drinks that are dishonest in the way they get presented and what they deliver to you. So that's why we were laughing, like listening to you.
Wow.
Wow. This, okay. So this is a topic close to your hearts. I didn't know we touched on something emotional.
It's very, very, very close. Very, very close.
Have you ever, now that you've grown and found financial success, do people try to pitch you to invest in their new drinks company?
It actually happened, like, remember, like maybe 3-4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
With like alcohol and stuff, but yeah, no, we're not interested. First and foremost, because we're interested in honest drinks.
Yes.
And the honest drinks, they already all on the market, you know, and they don't want us as investors.
Okay, top three honest drinks alive. Top three honest drinks of all time.
Evian. And I don't really like the taste of Evian, mm-hmm. but it's honest in the sense that, to put some context, we had this talk in a hotel in Los Angeles, maybe in like around 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And not giving you too much context, but we were like very, very thirsty, like crawling on the floor of our hotel room. And I was like approaching like the minibar, and I was like, if I don't drink, I'm going to die. And I opened like the door of the minibar. And I couldn't recognize any of the drinks that were presented. They all had like very complicated names, like very weird colors and shapes. And I just like pushed them all until I saw like a mountain that looked a bit fresh. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to drink. And I took it. And I was like, and then we had like a 2 hours talk about why don't the other drinks present themselves in a clear, efficient and honest way.
Wow.
You know, Evian, there's a mountain. It looks like it's in the Alps. The colors and everything looks like it's a bit fresh and it's like dawn.
You're right.
You know, like the weather is getting like cooler, everything's chilling. So the message is like very clear. And when you have like a, I don't know what, like a vitamin flavored water that has the name of an animal and the color that doesn't match the taste that is presented. You know, like, yes, like, yeah, like there's just too many contradictory informations and that makes the choice impossible. Perrier is quite honest too in the way that like the way it's like the sparkling component is presented.
Yes.
Is very true to what it is. And we're going to have to say that Coca-Cola is also pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Like the color and everything. It tells you that it's going to be thick and sugary and sweet. Partly desiring.
It's not very honest though. No, I'm trying to remember.
I mean,
but there is this, this alcohol like made by indigenous women, like, you know, like they chew like some kind of
like a root
of vegetables or whatever, and they spill it back into a big cauldron. That sounds honest to me.
But Coca-Cola is honest in the sense that the name is like made by the two like main ingredients. I mean, back in the days,
of the
brew.
The
and
brew.
It doesn't try to make you believe that it's going to be like healthy or like hydrating or what. It's red, you know what I mean? So red is like, it's going to clog your veins. It's not telling you, oh, it's going to like make you more hydrated or.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is honest. All right. So we got Evian and Coca-Cola. What else is kind of hitting your list?
He said
what
Perrier.
About coffee?
He said Perrier as well.
Oh, you said Perrier. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how does coffee enter your mouths, both of you?
It's funny. It's a bit like mixology and all those kind of made up crafts, you know, like because to us, like coffee is coffee, you know, it's not a big deal, like because you have so many options in the US and in France, you have like one or two options, and we are happy with the shitty coffee they serve in cafes.
Yeah, we're not ceremonial at all with coffee, and we either drink like drip coffee or powder coffee, and we're fine with that.
That's well, that's because you're smoking so much that you can't taste the coffee anyway, so it doesn't make a difference.
Maybe.
Now that we're on the subject of drinks, just quickly, I want to talk about the Badois that comes in the red bottle that's extra fizzy that I can only get in France. You guys are familiar with that, I'm sure.
Yeah. But the thing is that because they invented that color scheme, and right now, like other brands are like copying it, like it's not extra fizzy. It's just that the fizz is smaller and finer. It means like instead of having like one large bubble, you're gonna have like 10 small bubbles.
Yeah,
they're like minions.
Yeah, exactly.
Mignon.
Exactly. So it's very straightforward to us, you know. Uh-huh. It shouldn't, but it is.
Okay. Xavier, what are you eating right now for breakfast, if I may ask?
It's a salt sandwich. I just took leftovers of what was in the fridge, grilled it, and put it between like two pieces of bread. So it's mainly like a salt in different forms. Yeah.
Salt? That's a salt sandwich?
Salt? You're just having a delicious salt sandwich for
you
breakfast?
You gotta do with what.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure that you said salt for sure. Okay, so it's just salty, cheesy, yummy, breakfasty. Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys are staying at a house that you rented at Coachella, where this is being recorded in between week one and week two.
Yes.
You're going to play tomorrow.
Correct.
How's the house in Coachella going so far? Is it a little different from the last time?
Oh, it's a nightmare. Like it has every like Airbnb aphorisms you could think about. Like a lot of dream catchers and welcoming signs and
Well, look, it's probably how many people are in the house? Is it the two of you, or do we have some team members? We got tour managers and stuff as well.
No, we are like, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We are 8. And it's a blend of family and management.
Eight's kind of a lot. I don't care how big the house is. That might be too many.
It's small.
He's like, don't worry, it's a very small. So is Pedro responsible for booking this Dreamcatcher Airbnb? Who?
No.
I feel like somebody should know your taste level more by now.
We have no idea, honestly. But it doesn't matter. Like, the main thing is that we are like very close to the festival.
Yeah.
And because for example, today we're gonna have to go on site from like 5 p.m. till 1 a.m. To do rehearsals and everything, so it's kind of nice to be 5 minutes away from the festival.
Hold on,
and we're here for work after all.
Yeah, for sure. you're rehearsing at the festival, like on the stage you're gonna play on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know they did
from
that.
5 to 1.
Yes.
And you already did this whole set last weekend.
Yeah, but it's like we're very early on in the tour now, and we need like to rehearse constantly to just to remember what we have to do, how to do it.
Okay.
And also for the lights, because everything is like triggered by hand. So also our light designer, he has like to also practice. Mm-hmm. And the more he does it, the tighter he is and everything. So,
okay.
So like any time frame we have to do rehearsals, we just take it and do it.
Yeah, I didn't know. Wow. I don't think
that's crazy.
I wonder if they're offering that to everyone. I'm going to doubt. I doubt they are.
It's because we are lucky because we play on the Friday. So we have the Thursday.
Yeah.
That is very free, like for setting up and everything.
Oh, yeah.
If you would play on the Sunday or Saturday, then there's like, because the site closes. You know, we will have on like a much smaller time frame because it's the first day, the Friday. Mm. The day before, there's nobody playing, so we have like the stage free.
Mm. Doja Cat is fucked, is what you're saying. Okay. So, do you feel so since it requires so much work to rehearse and you're doing all of this show, your lighting is being triggered by hand. It's not just like pressing play on a computer and it all happens. You're really doing all the stuff because you care about it, which I think is great. Do you have the ability to change your setup from week one to week two, or is it too crazy to do stuff like that?
We have, but it would be a suicide. Like right now, we are really in the stage of like everybody in the team, because even like when you have things moving on stage, it's triggered by hands. So it's like there's someone else on the left side on the stage when you look at the stage. And he's like, he has like a sort of like joystick and he's like moving like all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to be coordinated without having to talk to each other during the show. If it, like generally when we change things last minute and it happens, or when we change things on the go, it means that we have a problem and something we have to deal with like urgently. And it's never a good sign. I know like the idea is counterintuitive. But there's not much room for improvisation during a live show.
Yeah.
There's like the possibility of it because we need to be flexible all the time. But a good show is when it's like the same as the previous good show that we made, but slightly better if possible. If it's different, it means there's an issue.
Okay. For your first performance last weekend, Coachella week one, how would you rate the show?
You mean our performance or the whole thing or the
your performance?
Or the result?
How do you think you did?
We don't care what you think about Doja Cat. We've established that.
No. When I was saying the whole thing, I was saying like the interaction between the audience and us, or you mean just the show as it was presented?
The show. When you walked off the stage, were you like, yo, we fucking killed that? Or were you like, we could have done things differently?
No.
Or are you like, B plus? Obviously, the crowd loved it.
We would say, like, in terms of what we delivered, we think it was like 7.5.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Because there was no major incident on our side. Like, there were things that we messed up or didn't play well, but that's fine. It's more of in the domain of the detail, so it doesn't really matter. And on the light side, on the visual side, like our engineer had like issues on almost like every track, but he's like very reactive and found ways. So it was not perfect, but it was good. And for a premiere, maybe it was maybe more. I think considering it was a premiere, I think it would be more like an 8 or something like that, an 8.5 maybe. Okay. If we were in the middle of the tour, then it would be maybe a 7.
Okay.
Well, you thought, okay, you really thought about this. Okay. So this was the first show playing this set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. You guys really set yourself up for that one. You could have done some warm-ups in Pomona or something before you headed.
Yeah, it's not like they can't just go to the Roxy and set up this fucking yeah, lighting true. Rig that's the size of a football stadium to knock out the tracks. You know, like you can put all of your synths and computers together in an SIR practice space and work out the music, but that's just one part of it.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as a warm-up date. Because it's really when you are in the real situation of like having to do things that you kind of discover like all the technical issues that can happen. Like before that, we did, I don't know how many like rehearsals in situation. So we rented like an empty venue in Las Vegas for like 4 days.
Wow.
And we were rehearsing. Before that, we rented the venue in France for 3 weeks and we're just rehearsing and everything with everything on stage.
Wow.
And of course, you have none of the technical issues that you have once you get in the real thing, once you have like 45 minutes to make a changeover.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is when you find out. So, and even warm up, I don't believe in that. I mean, like, from the moment people come to see a show, whether it's like for in a small venue or a larger one, they deserve to have something like good presented.
No, agreed.
So, so no, we're like, okay, if we got to start, let's kick off with Coachella and because it's cool and the timing is right.
Yeah, yeah, I like timing that. Is right. Just dick out. We're doing Coachella. We don't give a fuck. I like it.
So when was the last time you guys played Coachella? Was it like 10 years ago?
No, it was 2017.
Okay, 2017. So 7 years ago or so.
Yeah.
The good music that existed then and now, there's still a lot of good electronic music. Do you think the bad electronic music has gotten worse since 2017?
Honestly, we don't know.
Probably.
We don't know, and I don't think so. I mean, we don't listen to electronic music, or very rarely.
Smart. Yeah. Me neither. Me neither. Me neither.
So we are really not in a phase or in knowledge of what's happening. Of course, we hear like things here and there. And once in a while, we hear like new things that sound good and, that are made by kids and that sound like very, very exciting. But we don't hear less of them or more of them right now than we used to 10 or 20 years ago. Yeah, we don't really pay close attention to the electronic music scene.
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to do that.
You got to keep your head in the game. I understand. I mean, there's a lot of people that we've talked to on the show that are like, yeah, if I'm making a record or whatever, I'm not listening to any music at all. Like, I don't listen to any music or very little, just because it's the process is easier without it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's the ostrich strategy. It works for us.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, stick your head in the sand.
Yeah, no, I get it. I got the context clues, but I never. Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
See what an ostrich does, Chris. No, do both of you guys vape only now? We have removed cigarettes from our life completely.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So, spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com promo code HOWLONG. This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
Yes.
Not completely, but like 99% removed.
Okay.
That feels big.
Yeah.
This is real growth, you guys.
Was it hard?
No, actually, we didn't even plan it. It's just that once we tested, like, we're not going to advertise this, but we tested, like, a brand.
Yeah.
And it was so good that we never looked back. I didn't even plan on quitting smoking. I just, like, switched because it was more addictive and it felt better.
Okay. Okay. So what, it is more addictive and it does feel better.
Yeah.
And you could do it. You could do it inside of your house, and your house does not smell like shit.
You can do it on planes. You can do it everywhere. So it's like
I was gonna say. I know you motherfuckers are up in first class blowing clouds. I know that.
But are
you that.
are you vaping on private or on commercial flights?
We never do private jets. We're like always more like a easy jet than a private jet.
Okay, so you just move the leather jacket up a little bit and have a sneaky little pull off of that unnamed vaporizer.
No, we are like tracksuit traveling in coach and vaping in the coach.
Vaping in the coach bathroom.
It would be really cool. It would be really cool to see you guys sitting next to each other on a flight in tracksuits. That would be really good.
I mean, like,
it might happen.
When Jason and I travel together, we make sure we're not sitting near each other. Do you guys do the same thing?
No, we travel next to each other.
Oh, yeah. I need my space. The plane is my time. You know, it's where I get a lot of things done, and I don't want Big Bird peeking over my shoulder looking at my fucking web browser. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that we interact with each other, but we're sitting next to each other. Yeah.
So you guys sit next to each other and you quietly watch Sydney Sweeney movies without saying a word to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a pretty good situation. I think I'm too chatty. I don't think I could resist. That's the problem.
Yeah, a lot of this, taking the headphone off one ear and be like, did you... You got to watch this.
Yeah, very much.
We don't want to name the brand of vape that we're talking about, but could you let me know what your favorite flavor of this unnamed brand is?
It's the cowboy flavor.
Okay. So he said we ain't smoking mango over here, partner.
Yeah, no. No. Yeah, it's the real like a cowboy sunset lasso flavor, yeah. You know exactly what it is.
Are you saying Marlboro? So is that?
I know exactly what it is.
Is that just like a Marlboro Red? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He sounds like a Japanese guy explaining an American. Cowboy lasso sunset.
Damn, that's the flavors have gotten out of control. I would be bummed out if you guys were puffing on watermelon.
Okay, so congratulations on the not smoking. I think that was big. I think out of all the Ed Banger guys back then, you were not allowed to not smoke cigarettes for a certain time, is what it felt like. It was in the contract, and
it was part of the stage setup. You know, like we had to smoke on stage for visual efficiency.
Actually, in the US, we put it on the contract as part of the stage design, so we were allowed to smoke in indoor venues.
I remember,
and that was real. Yeah.
No, it's funny because I used to DJ and smoke cigarettes sometimes in the venue when you're not allowed to. As a little bit of a power move, you know, and like, what are you going to do? Kick me out? If you kick me out, then there's no music, kind of thing. The club owners don't love it, and they might not book you again. But, you know, my wife was like, the first time I saw you DJing, you were smoking a cig, and I thought it was so hot. And now we're married, so that part is cool. But I remember booking Wazo at Cinespace one time back in the day, and it was in the contract saying, I'm going to smoke cigarette for the entire set. If the police come and give me a ticket, you pay for it. And I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then the security's like, no smoking. And I was like, he's smoking.
Yeah. We had to put it on paper. Yeah.
And also I wanted to talk about clothing. You guys are always probably the best dressed. It's not hard to be the best dressed DJ or electronic musician, but you guys are definitely at the top. And it's cool. You see all these photos from, you know, Miami and Coachella, and everyone is wearing basketball shorts and tank top with no tan. And you guys are wearing, like, you know, a nice jacket with pants and boots and a nice vintage t-shirt that costs $4,000, and you guys look great. I want, and I guess speaking of vintage clothing, what is the most, or the most amount of money you've spent on one vintage t-shirt, and what was it?
Not a lot, because like on us, like it loses its purpose if it's like too expensive.
Oh.
And there are pieces that we missed, and that sometimes we regret not having bought because they were too expensive. And the one I'm thinking of was like, for example, a Yoko Ono t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it was just Yoko Ono written on black on a white t-shirt. And it was like, I don't know, like $700. And it was like crazy. Like the concept of putting $700 on a t-shirt was too much for us. And it defeats the whole purpose. So no, when we wear vintage, it's cheap always.
Okay. So the purpose of it is you want to have the thrill of the hunt. I found something that nobody else found or has, and I was able to purchase it for $50, $100 at the most.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And nobody else has this, and I worked hard to find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. You take pride in your work. You don't, like how Drake or something will just tell a guy, like, buy me this vintage thingy. I don't care how much it costs. I have to have it tonight.
I need the Aaliyah shirt. I need the Aaliyah shirt for $2,000.
Yeah,
right,
I need
now.
A $2,000 Aaliyah shirt right now.
Unfortunately,
okay,
I spend a lot of money on t-shirts, but I have a limit. $700 would be too high for me, but I've paid, I think I paid $400 for a Big Star shirt, or maybe, yeah, I think that Primal Scream, maybe. They get up there, but like, I just can't resist. Well, I need help. I should start vaping.
Yeah, are there any other collectibles that you guys hoard that we might not know about? Le Creuset cookware, things like that?
Actually, like the other day we were introduced to Nile Rodgers, because his manager has seen us wearing a chic t-shirt. It was the only thing he was interested in. Like, do you still have that chic t-shirt? But it was fun.
Okay, so Niall didn't...
you guys are cool, Niall. You still got that shirt.
He didn't want to get in the studio with you or anything. He just wanted to talk about the shirt.
Yeah, the 1980 tour t-shirt.
Sure.
Which is a great one.
Do you do you guys like doing podcasts? Just in general?
It's pretty new for us. Like, it's only the second time we are participating a podcast in our life.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was only asking because you guys seem to have like a more mysterious persona publicly. You're not really on social media posting selfies. You're kind of laid back, low key. But talking to you on this podcast, you guys are both very, very intelligent, smart, happy people, and you have a lot of opinions that you like to share. So I feel like I'm seeing a new side of you guys that I like, and I like to see you guys having fun doing a podcast.
Yeah, I guess that the trap of the podcast is that like you are invited and they make you feel comfortable and in a friendly zone. And then like very quickly, we tend to forget that we're being recorded. And so we start like like oversharing everything.
And we overshare.
we may regret it like in a couple of weeks.
It's okay. No one listens to this. No one listens to this.
I will. I edit the podcast pretty heavily. So if you guys ever say anything that's not cool, I'm going to cut it. Don't worry.
And no, we were kidding. It's fun.
I'm also kidding. I'm leaving all this shit in. speaking of Coachella sets going wrong, have you guys seen Grimes DJ set?
No, we...
This technical malfunction?
We heard about it, but we haven't seen it.
No, we fell for her.
You should explore it.
You should really take a look.
Yeah.
You should take a look.
But it happened to us like in... It was in 2012. First weekend we had like a huge technical issue, and we kind of know how it feels like to be there and like things are not working perfectly. I don't exactly know what happened to her, but I can kind of understand the frustration. And then you have really two solutions. It's like either you play it low key and then you just made a bad set, or you overdo it and then at least you have some press and everybody's talking about it. And then like we don't know her personally, but we kind of like have a view of her public character. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like suits her like to have like overdone it. And there's no such thing as a bad publicity, right? Mm. So now everybody is talking about Grimes DJ. So maybe it was a good move. Maybe it was even planned. Who knows?
That this is okay. Okay. So your third eye is open because Jason has been teasing the fact that it might have been planned to set up for an epic second weekend.
Yeah.
You know, to like show.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a redemption. It's a hole that she has to crawl out of. And now week two, it's going to be amazing. As long as she just presses play and has a pre-recorded set and doesn't try to actually DJ, she could have an amazing, perfect set.
But the fact that now it's on 2 weeks, it offers like a big like space for like scenarios and stuff like this. And you can actually build up from week one to week two. Mm-hmm. But that takes a lot of courage. Yeah. If that's the case, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know what it must feel like to be in front of 50,000 people and your laptop restarts. I don't know. I can't imagine that feeling and what you do. Because I know there's a million guys on stage to help you, but I feel like no one can really help fast enough.
Yeah, it's a bit like when you dream of going naked to school. It's like this, but 10 times harder. Yeah,
I can't imagine. I don't have that kind of responsibility in my life, so maybe it's on me. I'm not experienced enough.
No, yeah, it's tough, for sure.
So after you guys finish your set in Coachella, are you going to spend time in Los Angeles? And if you do, where do you guys normally stay? Chateau?
No. We stay there only once. Our policy with hotels is always like the closest hotel to what we have to do in town. And as like cheap and practical as possible, within the limits of like regular comfort, sure.
Like how practical? Okay, look, I'm starting to understand you guys a little bit, but you must be spending the money somewhere. You got to splash out every once in a while.
Where's the money going, guys?
Are you a real estate?
Bitcoin?
Are you a real estate mogul?
Yeah, I mean,
no, like the money goes into like the live show production and everything.
And the videos.
And that's really where it goes, you know? Well, like 40 people on the road.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
So we have like to be pragmatical. And also because like, we are very close to our technical team. Mm-hmm. We don't want to send them to a hotel in Skid Row and be the two of us in like Chateau Marmont or whatever. So we just make things easy. And also our experience with hotel is that we usually spend we just sleep in the hotel and shower and that's it. Mm-hmm. So what's the point of having a suite that you never walk into or whatever. Mm-hmm. We just want things to be easy, practical, and spend the money in the right places, which is like the production value and
this
everything.
This is enviable and very impressive, but did you have to mature into this, or has this kind of always been your approach?
No, we've never been big spenders. So, and actually like a few times back when I was in LA, I stayed in Skid Row in front of the Cecil Hotel. And it was interesting, for sure.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Okay, so you're flying coach, you're staying at not the shittiest hotels, but nothing lavish. Do you ever have a moment where you stop and go on holiday for 2 weeks and you buy the first class ticket, you go to the nice hotel, you have a nice dinner, a nice bottle of wine? Does that ever happen for you guys?
No, I mean, like our biggest budget is probably food, actually.
Food?
Yeah.
Restaurants is where we spend the most money.
Yeah, if we go out and have dinner together or with our families or stuff, then we go without counting. And we always try to go to the best places.
You know, we don't check price tags at the boulangerie, is what we're saying.
Yes. Exactly.
That's a good thing to spend money on.
I'm the same way. Because, you know, we get clothes for free. Who cares? You know, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
Buy a laptop. That's all you really need.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I want to stay in the nicest hotel room. I want to be on the front of the plane and I'll eat Subway. I don't give a fuck.
Go macro.
Yeah. I have a protein bar and I'm in my suite. I'm good to go. I don't need
that stuff. When you guys come into America, what are the restaurants that you are craving for, yearning for? The Michelin stars.
That's the thing. We struggle a bit in the US, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the best restaurants in Paris, they are not that expensive. And to have like good food in the US, it always costs you an arm. Mm-hmm. And we're just lucky to live there, I guess.
Okay. So where are we eating in Paris then?
In Paris, you should go to Septime, Clamato, Le Chateaubriand, Le Dauphin, Le Maquis.
I've been to Clamato before.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
what's
good.
What's the other place people always tell me about? Clown Bar? Or is that over?
Yeah, that used to be amazing.
It used to be a spot, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But you guys eat dinner so late, it's really hard for me. And I know, I mean, even if you got a family, I'm sure you guys aren't going till 8.
Yeah, but we had a few dinners, like in like corporate dinners, and it started at 5. We were like, what's going on, guys? Like, who's hungry at 5? You know?
welcome to America, baby. I'm hungry at 5:30. 5 okay, is the cutoff. Okay. 5 is too early. You have to be over 80. 5:30 to 6:30 is the prime window, I would say, for me. Prime window.
Well, after COVID and quarantine, America started eating dinner earlier. Did that happen in France?
No. No. That was the opposite, maybe, because when you do nothing, then like the time stretches in a weird way that we would like tend to have dinner like much later, maybe around like 10 or 11. PM during COVID, just because you lose track of time and you just let the natural rhythm.
Time doesn't matter.
Walking to you, and we are more like late people than early people.
Sure.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm in Dubai right now, so we had to do this a little earlier than normal. So I was like, are these guys up and at it at 10 a.m. or are you usually kind of waking up?
No, no, 10 a.m. is good. I mean, like past like 40 years old, you wake up naturally at like 9, 10 maximum.
That's right.
So, like it doesn't matter what time you went to bed the day before. Even if you go to bed at like 5, We would wake up at nine. Yeah. Like, oh.
Yeah, me too.
What are you doing in Dubai?
I'm here visiting a fitness and recovery hotel that I was invited to. So I'm basically staying on the 35th. My room has a treadmill and a bike in it. And then I go see a trainer every day. And there's a nutritionist that coordinates my meals with the chef. It's pretty cool.
All right.
It's pretty cool so far, but because of the storm, I don't know if you guys saw it, like flooded. It was fucking crazy. I haven't really gotten to go to Nobu or the mall or anything. So I feel like I'm sure you guys have been here several times.
No, never.
No.
Never?
No.
I don't think you guys play the kind of Dubai music.
No, like we have a bit of a strict policy with where we play and everything.
Where is off limits?
What's the policy?
Off limits is like when like the general like politics of the country is like too harsh towards like certain type of people, we don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I'm not kissing any guys in Dubai. I'm not, you know, I'm not crazy, but I understand why you would avoid it.
Don't feel bad about it. You can enjoy your street while we're staying in Skid Row. It's okay.
Okay, so have you ever been offered to play a private gig for a Saudi prince's son or something like that you've had to turn down?
No.
Yes. It happened 2 months ago, Gaspar.
I didn't turn down. But I just assumed they weren't too big on the cross. Yeah.
So hold on. Did you both agree to turn this down? Or did one of you kind of have to elbow the other one to be like, we're turning this down?
No, but that's the thing with every decision that we take. If one of us is saying no, we don't need to consult the other one, you know? Like, and our like team, they know that from the moment they have the yes or the no of one of us, it's like enough and they can move forward.
I love this. You guys have a really streamlined operation. I feel like you've really got it figured out.
No, but because we are two people in our band, it has to be like some sort of like, it functions with like, how is it called in English? Like absolute majority. It's either we have 100% of people on board, or it's not happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I understand.
It's a democracy.
Whenever Jason and I talk to a duo, we like to get tips as a fellow duo. You know, and you guys have been doing this for a long time, but we're not really at the, you know, we're not at the same level you are. So there's a lot of us for us to learn.
Yeah, like do you guys split the money 50-50 or is it 60-40, 70-30?
It's 49-51.
Okay.
Actually, I did play the keyboard on that part, so I don't want to be a dick, but like I think I deserve 51.
It's 51-49, and he knows why. I'm not gonna tell him. He knows why.
Well, I always heard these stories.
And how long ago did you guys meet?
We met a long time ago.
Like 15 years, maybe?
Yeah, 15 years ago. And we've been doing the show for like 3 or 4 years now. So we were friends. We were super close. But when you take it to a business level, things haven't really changed that much, though, I have to say. I mean, we talk, obviously, a lot more because there's decisions to be made. But I would say it's kind of similar to you guys, whereas like if one of us doesn't want to do it, we're not going to do it, and vice versa. You know, I'm not going to die on a hill if Jason feels super uncomfortable with something. It's bad for business.
Yeah. And if I come up with a design for a t-shirt and he says that's gay, then it's done. You know, we're not going to make the shirt.
We're not doing it.
And I'll have to save it for another
time. Game over. No, I just used to hear these. I used to hear these stories all the time because I used to manage a band, and it was like U2 splits everything five ways with their manager. Like Coldplay splits everything with their manager. So I was able to pull that off. And now I realize that that's not really how people like to do it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
But the reason those examples were used all the time is because those bands are so successful and they're still together. You know, and I think that the idea is that if the money's equal, people get along for a longer period of time.
Yeah, of course. Like for a simple life, even when we decided from the beginning that whatever I do or Gaspar does, it doesn't matter. Like it's very difficult to quantify like the input of someone into a project. Like let's say for example, sometimes it's gonna be like one note or one chord or one word that's gonna flip the song, and transform it into something like that, that transform something good into something great? And how do you really quantify that? So the easy and the most rational solution is just to split even by the amount of people that have an input into the project, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And as always, if it does nothing, then you share nothing.
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it does a lot, you share a lot. Then would you be happier or more miserable with like 60% instead of like 50%? We don't think so. So
yeah, no, you're
50-50
right, yeah.
Seems like reasonable.
It's very similar to when you go out to dinner with a group of friends and one person doesn't drink as much as the other, and you just have to put the credit cards down, split it evenly. But if somebody doesn't eat anything but a glass of water, then that's fine. They don't have to pay anything.
The amount of alcohol I've bought you in our time together, Jason, is in the, it's close, it's inching to the $30,000-$50,000 range at this point, I think.
you spend as much money on alcohol as I do, and you don't drink.
Exactly. Well, I don't think, I hate check splitting. I mean, this might not be as big in France, but like here, there's certain people nickel and dime, you know, they're like, well, I only had the carrots and the broccoli, so I'm only paying this instead of just splitting the check. It's like a real problem. But
you had the steak frites, I had the quinoa. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, yeah. So it's so and we have this app called Venmo where you can pay people very easily. So you'll see someone like, I went and bought you a coffee, and instead of just giving you the coffee that costs $4, you reimburse me the $4 for the coffee digitally. Which isn't good for society.
Yeah, but it's really like a state of mind. Like when we met with Gaspard, we both had no money at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we've always been like sharing things without counting.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the times where we were living on when we met, I think I was living on a budget of like €100 a month to do everything. And I had like a mortgage for like a Mackie mixer that I bought. That's why I was like, there was only such a, yeah, we were not poor because it was like, we were just on a very tight budget.
You were cash poor.
Yeah. And we never counted, about anything. It's just a mindset, you know what I mean? It's either you share or then you, we've always like, favored like the simple life over like, leaving the party with like 5 more euros in your pocket, you know what I mean? So it depends where you are. Yeah.
So ever from the beginning, you've just been dumping all of your money into electronic recording gear, is what it sounds like.
This and secondhand like records, like we really bonded when we met over like it doesn't exist in the US, but in France it was called Cash Converters. It's like pawn shops.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
And we were like spending our afternoons there, like buying like €1 like records, €20 like synthesizers or whatever, and going to the Salvation Army to buy like clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So we really bonded over like the secondhand stores of any kind. Yeah.
So it has a real meat cute. I don't know if you know what that is, but both two hands reaching for the same chic record in the dollar bin, and be like, "Are we going to be best friends? Where did you get this Garfield T-shirt?"
Wait a second.
Actually, we did trade a lot of T-shirts, yeah, because yeah. Like when they were too small, I was giving them to Xavier. When they were too big, he was giving them to me. So yeah, it was a fair share.
It's perfect, the symbiotic relationship.
But we also used to live together, so that made the sharing of everything also like easier. Like if we would buy like a piece of equipment or record or whatever, then it was like the property of the house and not really mine or his. So that makes everything simpler too. Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. We're glad it could work out. And good luck this weekend at Coachella. This episode will come out tomorrow, and people can listen to it while you're performing.
Instead.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Have a good day. Later.
Have a good day.
Au revoir.
Take care. To receive.